It's always a blessing when we can join together in prayer and look to the Lord and find help, grace, mercy, all that we stand in need of, we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord for that sweet prayer, Brother Mike, and ask each of you just to pray for me as I stand before you tonight. Been praying, as Brother Mike mentioned in his prayer, that the Lord would lead us where we ought to be. It appears tonight I've just got about 3 or 4 or 5 passages on my mind, and I'm trying to center my thoughts and pray that the Lord would just guide me, that where I would go would be of the Lord and pleasing to Him. We have a big book before us in the Bible, and I certainly encourage you to read the Word of God and to study the Word of God. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and it's that which the Lord has provided for us by inspiration of God, that we might be guided in this world in which we live. And we have been so blessed of the Lord, and this book tells us about those many blessings. It describes them to us. It tells us how we have them, where they come from, whom they come from, and who it is that is deserving of all the praise and the honor and the glory. And if we miss that lesson, even though we've been so richly blessed, we will not enjoy those blessings to the degree that we could and should while we're living here in this world. Tonight, I would desire that there would be more of God's little children that we're gathering in places just like this to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, just like we have. And that would be all about giving honor, as Brother Mike prayed, giving all the honor and the praise and the glory to the Lord. What we're doing tonight is the closest thing to what we'll be doing in heaven as we'll ever do on earth. And that is, if we're truly worshiping the Lord, we're giving honor and praise to Him. Heaven is not going to be a place where we're bored, where there's not going to be activity. The activity won't be the same as it is here on earth, but that worship and praise that we're doing even right down here, by the grace and the mercy of God, if we're carried by the grace of God to heaven one day, we will do that in a perfect way in heaven. And that'll be ongoing without end, where you'll never get tired and you'll never get bored. A little boy heard that one time and said, "Well, that sure doesn't sound much like heaven to me. Church all the time doesn't sound much like heaven." I'm finding in my life that when I'm among the Lord's people at the house of God, it's the happiest time and the most at peace that I am in this world. Now, the old physical body isn't that way. It gets weary and it gets tired, and you can only sat on a church pew for a certain length of time. And, you know, I'm thankful we have good, comfortable pews and thankful for all of that. But even at that, the old body gets weary. But the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And tonight I feel that weakness in my flesh, and you indeed might feel it in yours. I don't know how it's been with you and how it is right now. But I just pray the Lord would allow us to overcome all the flesh right now. And just for a moment, stop and pause on how good the Lord's been to us, so that we can, from our hearts, really just thank Him for His goodness and mercy to sinners like you and I are. Now, that's not pleasant to talk about we're sinners, but it's a reality and it's a truth that we must acknowledge from the Word of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is none of us who can fix that. There's none good, no, not one. And nothing about us is good. In the details given to us in Romans 3 about that, there's not any part of us that's good. There's not a little bit of good in us that we can nurture, and a little coal or a little ember that we can blow on and fan up and get some flame. We're dead cold. We're dead. We're dead in trespasses and in sins. We don't have anything to blow on to cause the flame to kindle and to burn. If the Lord hasn't lit us, we're not going to be lit. If the Lord hasn't given us life, we're not going to be alive. But I believe tonight we have life. I believe He's given us spiritual life. We have the old warfare that's going on between the flesh and the spirit. But the reason we even know about that is because we've been made alive spiritually. We have been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. We have a spiritual man that is there. And that's the part of you that enjoys being here. The other part that gets weary and tired sometimes and kind of says, you know, maybe we could just take off tonight and just kind of stay away. That's that old fleshly part that will be tugging and pulling against you in every area that you go at and trying to follow and live in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. That's not just about when you attend the church. It's about when you go out into life and you start walking and you start talking and you start living. You've got a flesh that's contrary to the way of the Spirit. You have the conscience of the Lord's work and grace that's in your heart that's leading you in the paths of righteousness and directing you. But then you have that old flesh and that warfare that goes on. The Scripture says the Spirit lusts against the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh, and the two are contrary to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Which means you got a battle going on in you. If you don't have the battle, you don't have any evidence of life. There's no evidence of life. The life, the battle is an evidence that you're alive. It's not comfortable. It's not pleasant. Sometimes it's horrible. It's difficult. But even that, you and I ought to be down on our knees thanking the Lord we have the battle. Thank the Lord that He hadn't just left us to our own will and our own way and our own want, but He's given us a hunger and a desire to know the ways of the Lord. Now, I've often thought, why in God, if God, and He has all power, and if it had been pleasing to Him in the new birth, He could have just put all of the truth of the Bible in us in the new birth, automatically put it in us to where there was nothing for us to learn and nothing. One day in heaven, somebody said what we're going to be doing in heaven is the same thing we're going to be doing on earth. I sure hope not. That doesn't sound like heaven to me. We're not going to be up in heaven learning more about the Lord. When we get home to heaven, that which is in part is going to be done away, and we'll know as we're known. And that which is not perfect will be made perfect. And we will know, you know, as I heard brethren just recently say, we've got a lot of questions we're going to ask the Lord. Well, when you get home to glory, we're going to know. And we'll have an understanding. We'll understand it. Aren't you glad and thankful for that? And I sometimes wonder why the Lord in the new birth didn't just, you know, put that right in us. You know, why are we here tonight? Why are we coming with an open Bible and sitting down together and looking at the Word of God? Why is it important to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth? Why is it important for preachers to preach and for us to come begging God to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts? Because God has chosen, He said in His Word, He has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now that salvation is not how you and I get home to glory. Now that salvation is about how you and I live here in this world in a way to honor and glorify the Lord, and how we grow in grace and knowledge of the truth and find life worth living, find life abundant. He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. He came to deliver us not only eternally, but in a temporal way, timely. We have deliverance every single day as we labor, as the Lord leads us and the Lord guides us, and we follow Him as little children. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord leads us and guides us as His little children? And He won't let us go. He won't let us just go our own way. You know, you watch a little child and they're going along pretty good, and you keep your eye on them and they just go, and they'll always push the limits. You know, they'll get on something and they'll ride it a while until it gets to where It's right on the edge of being unsafe, and you're just sitting there waiting, okay, do I let this go, or do I step in, do I... But they push the limits, and they continue to do that. And a loving parent, and a wise parent, and a good parent will allow them, because they love them, to go only so far, and then they step in and they intervene. Sometimes as parents, we wait too long, don't we? Something happens that probably shouldn't have happened. We just are a little negligent, even the best of parents. And then sometimes we step in too quick and we don't allow them to learn and to grow. You know, the Lord knows just what we need, just when we need it. He's always on time. He's always right there to supply just what we need, when we need it. In the storm, in the trouble, He allows and suffers the storm to be. He is not the author of confusion, nor should we ever even hint at that. He's not a God who causes sin in this world, but He is a God who's in complete and total control, and He suffers those problems and those troubles and those things to occur in our lives, and even overrules them to bring about those things that you and I need in the way of instruction. I believe that tonight, don't you? I believe there's a God who's in control. I shared with the congregation over Union this morning a story that Brother Stan told me about a time when he had fallen and how he was there and it was in a situation where he couldn't get himself up and he didn't know really whether he had broken something. This has been a while back. I should have told the folks that. I had someone come to me later and say, did Brother Stan get up okay? Well, this has been a while. So yes, he got up okay and everything was all right at the end of it. And when Brother Stan fell and he was lying there lying there, and whatever the situation was, and I hope I'm getting this correct, but the part that's really important I think I'm going to get that correct. But Brother Stan was there, and there were two little sisters, Sister Margie Dickerson, and Brother Stan's mom, I believe, were there, and they didn't know exactly what to do, didn't know all about the situation and what was going on. But Brother Stan looked up at Sister Margie and said, I think things are bad here. I don't know what's going to happen. And he said she just smiled and looked at him with this calm and look and said, Brother Stan, there isn't anything going on here right now that God isn't in total control of. And I'm saying to you tonight, with everything that's going on, with whatever's happening in your life, what she said, you know why it was so meaningful? Because it's truth. There isn't anything that's going on in my life or your life tonight that the Lord isn't in total control of. That doesn't in any way make Him the author of evil things, but it does tell us our God will take care of us. And that means so very much to me tonight. And I believe it means that much to you. And I just pray that as we look at a portion of Scripture just for a little while, that the Lord would bless us together to get just what we need for just the right moment, and for tonight, and for whatever faces us between now and when we get another time where we can come and get your feet. And I want to encourage you to this. You make every opportunity you can to get as much food as you can get. And I can't tell you that naturally speaking, but I can tell you that spiritually. We can eat too much naturally, but you can't feed too much on the Word of God and the instruction that comes from God's Word. So I encourage you to not only read and study your Bibles, but any opportunity that you can. God could have put it in us immediately, but He has chosen this method. He has chosen the foolishness of preaching. He's chosen to call men to preach the gospel. He's chosen to give us ears to hear it, eyes to see it, and hearts to understand it, and bless men to do it. And He's put this treasure in earthen vessels that the glory would not be of men, but of God. And He's done it in such a way, it has to be the right way because it's the way God chose. And there cannot be any improvement on what God has done. So I want to read to you tonight a psalm that I read this morning for those that were with me this morning. Probably already there. Psalm 67. I'd like to read in your hearing. Seven verses here. He says, God, be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah. That Thy way may be known upon earth, Thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. He said, God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah. I hope that's how you came tonight. That's some showers I'm hearing now. The Lord's so able, isn't He, just to open up the windows of heaven and pour a shower out upon us. And without the Lord doing that, yes, without the Lord doing that, if He doesn't do that, we can't make that happen. We can't cause that to happen. And that's just as true tonight. As we come to feed on the Word of God, we need the Lord's blessings in order to be able to share the truth of the gospel. But I'll tell you, heaven is a real place, and there's a river that flows out of the throne of God, the river of God's love, and the river of God's mercy, and the river of God's grace. And it's for the healing of the nations, and the Lord has provided for us all that we stand in need of tonight. As we come in this world that's so full of need, we have answers given to us in the Word of God. If we come looking to Him, He will supply them to us just when we need them and right on time. He won't do it in a way that will give men the glory, but He'll do it in a way that all the glory will belong to Him. He won't necessarily fill us up so big that we get puffed up in the head, but He'll give us just what we need for the hour and for the moment, and rather than puff us up, it'll keep us humble and at His feet. Tonight I want to be at His feet because I know that if God gave me tonight just what I deserve, there wouldn't be a good thing in my life. Because all of us, as we've already said, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're told what we deserve. The wages of that sin is death. And that death is not just death in a natural way, but it's eternal separation from God forever and ever in a place of torment. Tonight, as we look around, the Lord has richly blessed us. He's given us a little church where we can meet and together. He's given me good friends, brothers and sisters that I love dearly, that mean so much to me, that when I'm in trouble, I can call on them and I know they're going to be praying for me and looking to the Lord for me. And it's not going to be just halfway. They're going to, from their heart, do that. And I believe we have that relationship with one another. I said to you tonight, isn't that a good thing? What would we give for that? I know one thing. I could have a whole lot of money and not have a single friend. I could have a whole lot of money and nothing would compare to that. And all the money in this world can't buy that kind of love and fellowship among the brethren. I'm telling you, we have a great God tonight who has richly blessed us. But we also said here tonight, coming in, God be merciful unto us tonight. God forbid we'd ever come like that old Pharisee came, and sometimes I'm afraid we do, saying, God, I'm thankful that I'm not like other men are, because we are just like other men are. Without the Lord, we don't have a thing. But I pray tonight everyone will come in tonight as you're here, that we'll feel and be just like that little publican who said this, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. A very special, individual, personal prayer where you recognize I need the Lord. Tonight, do you realize how much you need the Lord? Sometimes we're thinking, well, God may not answer me because of what a mess I've been. God may not hear my call because of what a sinner I am. God may just give me what I really deserve rather than what I'm asking for, because I'm begging God, please help me. But when I really look at all the doubt in me and all of the fear in me and all of the faithlessness that's in me, I sometimes feel like maybe I'm just going to miss everything that the Lord has for me. Listen, grace isn't about you deserving it.
Aren't you glad grace isn't something you earn or you merit? God's grace came to you not because you deserved it or because you earned it, but in spite of all that. And the reason that's the truth and that's the case is because there was a Savior who loved you so much that He was willing to come and die for you and pay your sin debt so that the things that you get come not because you've earned them, but because He earned them. And He's given them freely unto us. The night we look to Him for mercy. This verse sounds like a prayer, and it is somewhat of a prayer, but it's a prayer we speak to one another. Isn't it what we need tonight? God, be merciful unto us. I need Him to be merciful unto me. How about you? Do you need Him to be merciful unto you? I hope there's no one bold enough tonight that would say, I think I can just come on my own and get what I deserve. And if you are, I hope you'll listen real closely. And I hope the gospel and the truth of what we are will knock the stuffings right out of you so that you really see that without the Lord, you can't do a single thing. Doesn't matter how many times we've been here, how faithful we've been, how many years we've been here, how long we've been a member. Tonight, you and I are just as dependent upon the Lord as the first time we ever darkened the doors of this little church, from the first time we ever sang Amazing Grace, or the first sermon I've ever preached. Tonight, I need the Lord as much or more than I've ever needed Him. And what I want to say to you is that our God is just as big tonight. And if we can see Him, we can see Him a little bigger. One day we'll really see Him as He is. But right now we can still grow in that. So that when the news comes and it isn't so good. And I love it when good news comes. We all do, don't we? We get good news and that I don't have to worry about that anymore. But you know, there's going to be times in our lives, just as sure as we get those days with good news, we're going to have bad news. And then when we're in that kind of storm, where do we go? When it isn't working out the way we thought it was going to work out. When our plans don't come to fruition like we think we're going to, you know, we get it all figured out. And then we have another course. When we get out on the sea and we start rowing and doing even what God has told us to do. As we read in Matthew 14, where the disciples were out there on the sea, and they're rowing, trying to get along, and they've rowed about 3.5 miles out there on the sea, and the storm comes, and they're out there toiling in the storm. I'm sure running through their minds is what's running through our minds sometimes. Lord, why am I having such a hard time? I did what You told me. I got in the boat, and I'm going to the other side. Why is it so hard? Why is the way so difficult? And they were just about to see something so special that you and I are still reading about it and learning about it. Preachers are preaching about it. If they hadn't have been in that storm and in that trouble, Brother Peter would have never walked on the water. And they'd have never seen Jesus come walking on the water in the midst of the storm. And I'm telling you, because He did it that day, you and I can know this. In the storms of my life, when I'm overwhelmed with grief and sorrow, and I don't understand what's going on or why it's happening, I can know this. There's a God in heaven whose eye is upon me even before He ever leaves the bank to come walking on the waves. And He's coming. And He's going to come and help me in His time and in His way. And He's going to do it just the right way. And He may even require me to walk on the water with Him for just a little bit. And if I've got to walk on the water, He's got the strength to give me the ability to do it. Just as much as He did Brother Peter. And when you and I keep our eyes on Him, we've got the strength we need to do whatever He tells us to do. And when our eyes go off of Him and get upon the sea and the waves and the trouble and everything else, that's why we need a dose of preaching along the way. That's why we need the instruction on the way of the Lord. That's why we need to pray, God bless us. God be merciful to us. God give me the strength that I need that I might remember again that I have a big God who's promised to take me all the way to the other side. And He'll never leave me and He'll never forsake me. And I'm in His hands. A big God, a little one who's in His hands. You know how many God has lost? Not one. You know how many He's tried to heal? Not one. Because He heals those whom He desires to heal and is pleased to heal. God speaks and it's done. God doesn't wish, God doesn't want, God doesn't beg. God is not like the weak God you hear preached in this world. Our God is powerful. Our God is awesome. He created the heavens and the earth. He did the stars, all the planets, and all of that. It was the work of His fingers. I'm telling you, our God holds the hollows, the world, the waters of this world in the hollow of His hand. Our God is an all-powerful, almighty, sovereign God that we look to tonight. And He's the one who gave Peter the ability to do just what he did. And that was walk on the water. And when he went in the water, our God didn't say, okay, I gave you your shot and you messed up. Because so many times I'm walking on the water and doing okay, and then I get my eyes off the water and off the Lord. And I get my eyes on the storm. And I've been in and out of that all week. Even right now in this pulpit, I'm about to. The old flesh is still here. What a day it's going to be when that's gone. And this old body is going to be changed. And it's going to be made like unto His glorious body. And we'll be with the Lord. Brother Terry, we won't have to fight that battle anymore. Won't have to wage that warfare anymore. Because there's a Savior who's already won the victory. There's a Savior who already says, God shall bless us. The last verse tells us God shall bless us. That's a promise for every one of God's little children, that every one of them without the loss of one are going to be at home with Him in glory on that final day. When he comes again, there's going to be a reunion in the air, and we'll all be with Him. Those who are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and those who are in the grave are going to come forth, and there's going to be a reuniting of the body and the soul and the spirit, and we'll forever be with the Lord in glory. We believe that tonight, don't we? So when we're in the storm, don't we believe there's a God big enough He's going to do that at the last day? What's a little storm to Him? Help me, Lord, to keep that thought. Help me, Lord, to believe it better. Help me, Lord, not to just be standing before people in a pulpit saying it. Help me, Lord, from my heart embrace it. And pray, God, be merciful to this old sinner. I got good news tonight. There's a Lord who knows you better than you know yourself. And as rotten as we feel, we're a whole lot more rotten than that. And He loves us anyway. And His grace is not about us getting it right. It's about making us right. Through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we were reconciled to God. What we needed, He did, He met, He kept. The law we could not keep for righteousness' sake, He kept for righteousness' sake. And His righteousness has been given to us, and our sins have been imputed upon Him, and He bore them to the tree of the cross, and they have been paid for, never to be remembered against us anymore. And because of that, us weak, worthless little worms of the dust can call upon our Father, our Father who art in heaven, as His little child. And He hears our cry, and He hears our call. Even as we are on the ship toiling away, His eyes is right upon us. And at the hour and the moment of need, He comes walking on the water. And He says, it is I. Be of good cheer. It is I. Somebody said that's because they got their faith right. Let me tell you, when He walked up, they didn't even know who He was. When He came into my life, I didn't know who He was. I'm learning tonight more about who He is. That's why He gives us the foolishness of preaching. To show us the way of the Lord. He said, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. The face of God is no clearer seen anywhere in this world than in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the brightness of His glory. The express image of His person. That's what the book of Hebrews tells us. And we behold the face of God. And we see the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The more we learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we see God with us. Emmanuel. God made manifest in the flesh. We're here tonight to talk about His saving health, which means His salvation, which means it means telling about the person of Jesus. It's telling about what great love that He had for His people. How willing He was to come and die for each and every one of them. What a price He paid, a price we could not imagine. What a victory was accomplished at Calvary. He fulfilled the will of the Father. He did that which was necessary that we'll be with Him in heaven in immortal glory without the loss of one. What a Savior we have. We have a God, the Father, who loved us so much even before the foundation of the world, and nothing can separate us from that love. And we have God, the Holy Spirit, right here with us tonight. He's right there in our heart, teaching us how to pray, shedding the love of God abroad in our hearts. He's the reason. The Holy Spirit is the reason we love God. And the Holy Spirit is the reason we love God's children. The Holy Spirit is the reason we have love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. These are the fruit of the Spirit. And without the Spirit of Almighty God in you, and that work of grace, you wouldn't have any of those fruit. Isn't it wonderful that He supplied that to us here while we're living right here in this world? What would our lives be without the work of the Holy Spirit? He says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. And then that little word, Selah. And I've tried to talk about this word a little bit, and I'm not going to stay here very long, but I believe this is a musical note that really talks about pausing. It's where you pause. It's like saying pause. It's like it's a stop. And how many times do we need a Selah? And you know, you'll find it in the Psalms over and over. Over 70 times in the Psalms. And another book, I believe it's Hosea, that you'll find it several times. It's not there very often. But when you see that, what I feel in my heart and what it says is, stop and think about this. Just listen to the verse. It says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Do you feel like that's a time to say, okay, let's stop and think about that? I believe it is. Selah. Let's ponder that. Let's think about that. Let's remember that. Every time we come, we should say, God be merciful unto us. And we should pray, God bless us. And we should say, God, cause Your face to shine upon us. Lord, may I see Jesus as I'm walking through life. May as I walk out each and every day, see that Thou art with me. When I get in my car and go riding down the road, remember that He's a passenger right there with me. He's with me in my home and in my life. In the person of the Holy Spirit, He's everywhere present and He's nowhere absent, and He's right with us here in this world. And then He says in verse 2 that, and there's a reason for that. He says that Thy way may be known upon earth. Now God's way is His work of salvation. It's what He's done. That's the way of the Lord. If you remember, Brother Apollos was messed up on some things. And there were two little, I believe it's Aquila and Priscilla, that came to him and expounded to him the way of the Lord more perfectly. And God's little children need to know the way of the Lord. We need to know how it is that the Lord has saved His people. It doesn't make us His children to know that, but it sure makes us happy, and it encourages us, and it strengthens us. We need to know what the Lord has done for His children. We need to know that our God's not a weak God who wants to do something and can't get it done. We need to know that the way of the Lord and how He saved His people, it wasn't just a little plan that might have failed or would fail at all. But God purposed to save His people, and what He purposed to do, He accomplished. We need to know the way of the Lord. Now, how can we share the way of the Lord? We need God's mercy, and we need God's blessing, and we need His face to shine upon us. And the reason that we do that is that the way of the Lord, that Thy way may be known upon earth. God has designed us to teach others of God's little children about the way of the Lord. We can't make them children of God, but we feed the little lambs and we feed the little sheep by showing them the way of the Lord. And to teach them what great things, how great things the Lord has done for us. He says that the way of the Lord, that the way may be known upon earth. and thy saving health among all nations. That's not only our salvation, but everything that we need. If we need anything in this world, where is it that we're to go? We're to go to the Lord. He's the one who provides all that we need. He provides our physical health. He provides everything about us we need here. And that is given the mercy of the Lord to bless us and His face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon the earth and thy saving health among all nations. And then verse 3 says, let the people praise thee. I believe the more we know about the way of the Lord, the more we're going to praise Him. We can't help but praise Him tonight because He's been so good to us. He's been wonderful to us. Tonight we've met just for a little while. I'm going to stop with verse 3. We've met for just a little while. Come out of the cares and the troubles of this world, separated ourselves, presented our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, that we might join together as the people of God in praising God for His goodness and His mercy. We hear about the way of the Lord, that is, that salvation is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That He is the author and the finisher of our faith. That He is the one that we need to look to in every storm and in every trouble and every problem. He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we come and we say, let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee, not just the Jew. A Jew, Gentile, whatever nationality, God has a people that are going to fear Him, that are called by His name, that He's going to call out of nature's darkness unto His marvelous light. And they are people out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Isn't that what we desire tonight, that we might have a little portion of God's children? I'd love to have the whole, every one of God's children in this area here tonight to praise the Lord. We can't cause that to be, but we surely can pray, Lord, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause Thy face to shine upon us. And then stop, Selah, stop and just think about that, ponder on that. Just thank the Lord for His mercy and grace that's been shown unto us. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you, and I appreciate your kind attention tonight.